Hello and welcome to the 30th podcast for the Queensland Freemasons. I'm here today with Brother Graham Schultz. How are you, Graham?
I'm very well, Luke, and yourself?
Not too bad, thank you. Actually, I've got a new microphone to record this with, but I've got this low-quality voice thanks to the flu I've had for the last month.
High-quality microphone, low-quality voice.
Yeah, hopefully our content's a little bit better than my voice. Look, I thought of a topic that we haven't yet covered for a podcast, and it might sound like a little boring topic at first, but it kind of shows how we're a traditional organisation, and we still have a lot of things that we do in our organisation that have been done for hundreds of years, and that is we're going to talk about the toast list, and that might sound like a very strange thing to be talking about, but as part of our meetings, we've mentioned that there are two halves to it, which is the first half is essentially the Mason side of the meeting, where we do our ritual and the business of the meeting, and the second half is where we stop and have a supper or a dinner with each other, and as part of that, we have some traditional toasts, and every lodge has their own tradition, but we've got an outline here of what would be said at those events and why we would say them.
I think it's interesting that there's normally five or six that are given at every lodge.
Yep.
And while, you know, we're talking about this from the context of a Queensland, Australian context, for those of our overseas listeners who are listening, that's the context we're talking at it from. And to do that, you need to realise that we are Anglo-based Freemasonry.
Yes.
in Australia. And consequently, the first of our toasts is always the Queen and the Craft.
It is. Graham, just a question. In other jurisdictions like the US, would they be toasting the President or the Head of State, I would have thought?
Yeah, and likewise, if in Australia we ever become a republic, if that ever happens down the track, you could imagine that Freemasons would have a picture of the President in their supper rooms rather than a picture of the Queen. And the first toast would be to the President and the Craft, because it's a Masonic honour to do this toast. It's like an allegiance as well, to swear your allegiance to your sovereign, whatever that is. So like I said, it's back in antiquity. This has been done for hundreds, of years that we know of.
At least back to 1717 in England.
Yeah,
And I would have thought their toast list would have resembled something similar to what ours would today. So we basically toast the Queen and the Craft. So we're basically saying that this is pledging, I guess to some extent, like Graham's saying, our loyalty to both of those things. The second toast we do is to the Most Worshipful Grand Master, and that would apply in every jurisdiction because every jurisdiction has a Grand Master of their own.
Yeah, and once again, it's a mark of respect. It's an honour that is given to the Grand Master by every Freemason at every festive board, and for those who've missed the podcast about the festive board, that's our supper after a lodge where we go to, and it also covers like the banquet, the installation banquet, which we have once a year in all our Masonic lodges, and you'll quite often find maybe one or two or three more toasts at an installation banquet than you will at a general festive board. But the Most Worshipful Grand Master is pretty straightforward, respectful.
And that's actually toasting the position more than the individual. Would that be a fair thing to say?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the position of Grand Master, and as you know, the Grand Master changes every 3 years in our jurisdiction, and there's a new Grand Master, but the toast is the same, and the toast is always that allegiance to and support for the Grand Master as the supreme head of the Craft.
And so on this list that we've got here, Graham, there's a toast to the assistant Grand Master, and I guess that's because that person would have been present at this particular thing.
Yeah, so what we're looking at is the actual toast list from the Murilla Lodge in Miles from their installation banquet this year, and the representative there, or the Grand Lodge representative, was the assistant Grand Master, who goes in his own right as the assistant Grand Master, or the third highest ranking Freemason in the state. And there is also a toast after the Grand Master. There is a toast then to the assistant Grand Master because he's actually in attendance. You wouldn't have that toast if he wasn't there.
And after that toast, I think that's also an invitation for them to give a response to that toast. And depending on who that particular person is at that time, they will say something that's appropriate for both the lodge that they're visiting and for them based on their personality as well. So
yeah, and quite often, and I know with this particular case, the assistant Grand Master then called on one of his senior ranking Grand Officers to respond on behalf of the Grand Officers, yep. as well as him doing his own response.
There would have been a team of Grand Officers yes. visiting as it's an installation of a Worshipful Master.
Yeah.
Then because it's an installation ceremony where they're putting a new head of the local lodge in, they would then have the newly installed Worshipful Masters and the warden and the officers being toasted as well. So they're basically acknowledging the people who've taken an office of responsibility. And again, this is all about acknowledgement of those people in those positions at that particular time, as opposed to the individuals themselves. But it's up to the individuals to give a thoughtful and meaningful response to that.
Yeah, so. And it's a very prestigious toast because
absolutely.
It's the Worshipful Master of the lodge is the highest ranking Freemason in that lodge in that area or town or whatever. And it's a serious toast, but also it's a mark of respect for the fact that he's attained that chair of the master, and then his team of officers that will be, and normally it's a senior member of the lodge who will propose that toast. Yeah. Mm.
Usually probably the past master or the immediate past master,
yeah.
I would have thought,
yeah.
would do that. And for those that don't know, when you've become the head of your lodge, after your term is finished, you're then referred to as the immediate past master, which is you're the almost the fallback position if the worshipful master cannot be present
for
that meeting.
You're the coach or the mentor.
That's absolutely
for the year.
Right.
Yeah.
There is a particular order to this as well, and we're following this through, I guess, a hierarchical order. The next people that we would be making a toast to, in all cases, would be our visitors. So it wouldn't be unusual at an installation supper or a meeting, actually, there would be quite a few visitors. I think most lodges would end up with at least between 60 to 100 people attending. So we would then be asking the individual worshipful masters representing their lodges who are visiting to give a response, or perhaps, depending on how many there are, perhaps one of them would respond on all of their behalf, and that would be organised beforehand.
I think there's a little more latitude at an installation banquet where there's maybe a bit more time on your hands rather than just a normal lodge meeting. Festive board where you might have five or six worshipful masters from visiting lodges in attendance, but there's a bit more latitude at an installation banquet for responses, and quite often visitors from interstate or overseas would be asked to respond and share some of their story, whether they're from France or England or wherever they might be visiting from, or Scotland, just to bring greetings from their lodge and also tell us a bit about themselves and their lodge. That's always interesting
as
well.
And quite often, because our meetings are fairly formal, it might be your first opportunity to actually hear where these people are from and have a bit of a conversation with them in their response to that toast. So we don't just stand up and do one toast after the other unless they're in a rush. They generally space them out and give you an opportunity to talk to the people there.
And it's an opportunity to share, if you're a worshipful master from another lodge, to share what work you've got coming up and what's happening and when the next installation's coming, or if you're doing some degree work at the next meeting, or an invitation to everyone at that meeting to attend their lodge as well, which is the reciprocal thing about visiting, isn't it?
It is. I guess we've got the next one coming up, which is interesting, is the Absent Brethren toast. I was speaking about this a little bit earlier, and I think this harps back to the First World War or the Second World War.
Yeah, we believe that in our jurisdiction, it started around during the First World War, when a lot of Freemasons were away on active service, and every night, no matter where they were, it was 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, they would stop.
Yep.
And that's when the Absent Brethren toast would be proposed in the festive board. And it still happens a lot today in a lot of lodges.
I'm not sure if this is published or not. It's a pretty similar toast at all of the events. It's never really different. Maybe we should put a link to the text of that, because it's quite interesting. The first time I heard it, I could kind of tell that it was made up during a wartime because of the way it talks about them at air, land or sea or wherever they may be.
Well, then there's a little bit of a crossover there too, that sometimes it does get confused with the Tyler's toast as well, which is totally different and is concerning all Masons wherever they may be on air, land or sea. But the Absent Brethren was specific to those soldiers and sailors who were away serving their country and they knew wherever they were in the world at 10 o'clock on lodge night, they would somebody be being remembered in their lodge.
Absolutely. Mm. And we've got the next one down here is a toast to the ladies and artists. I haven't seen this reference artists
before. No, well, you don't see that. You don't see that a lot. You see the toast to the ladies, of course, everywhere.
Yes.
And that's a very significant and a very important toast to the ladies of Freemasonry who support Freemasonry through supporting their partners and or the other activities that they do in Freemasonry. So there is always a toast for the ladies
but
at the banquet.
The artist section? And where does that come
be,
from?
There happened to be an entertainer there.
Oh, right, okay.
And the toast was included for her as well. She was playing some music
and
singing
sure.
at the actual festive board. So the toast was to her
That's
as
fair
well.
Enough. That's rather nice, actually. We occasionally have a magician turn up to our lodge because we have a member of our lodge or an affiliate of our lodge who's a magician. And,
really?
So we'll have to remember that particular section. I'll be a smart aleck and pull that to the ladies and artists of our lodge. We'll see what they say.
Yes.
I'm thinking they'll think I'm some sort of artist too, but not quite the same thing as the magician. And we've also then finally finished off with the Tyler's Toast, and that's basically the toast that we say at the end of the evening. And
yeah.
It's about meeting and greeting each other and saying that we're looking forward to meeting each other again at some particular stage.
Yeah, so. And it's interesting with the hand, heart, pocket, salutation at the end, isn't it, too?
Yeah.
That's a nice thing, and it sort of covers... your heart, thinking of people, pocket if you need to help financially, and your hand physically to help people. So, and it has a great deal of significance, the Tyler's Toast, doesn't it? And
It does. I don't know where it actually hails from or where it first started.
It's ancient. It's ancient.
Nobody
as well.
Actually knows.
It's ancient, and it's once again different things in different lodges in different jurisdictions. But mainly, it's to wish you well to everyone as you leave. But also to remember those of poor and distressed brethren who maybe aren't at lodge or can't be there, and also to remember that as well, and how fortunate we are to be able to be there.
Well, we could maybe finish off this podcast by saying, as a part of the Tyler's Toast, we meet on the level and part on the square. Then, Graham.
Happy to meet.
Happy to meet. And
sorry to part.
And happy to meet again.
Yes.
So until the next podcast, thank you very much, everybody, and we'll see you then. Thank you. Bye.